السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله، بلغ العلا بكماله، كشف الدجى بجماله، صلوا عليه وآله، حسنت جميع خصاله، صلوا عليه وآله، صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, Alhamdulillah, we are so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life, an opportunity that we witness this most blessed Jumu'ah in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah has mentioned that the most auspicious Jumu'ah in the entire year is that Jumu'ah which is in Dhul-Hijjah, like how we are at the moment. Currently the Hujjaj have gathered in Makkatul Mukarrama, in Aziziyah, and all over the kingdom, getting ready to make Hajj and fulfill this obligation. While we are not there in physically, but in spirit we must be there, that we must live the Hajj every minute as it's unfolding. And on Wednesday, inshallah, in the morning after Fajr, the Hujjaj will leave. In their millions they will leave towards the plains of Mina. And there they will remain in Mina. And then on Thursday, they will leave from Mina to Arafah and fulfilling one of the most important rites of Hajj, that being in the plains of Arafah, Al-Hajju Yawmul Arafah, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all again and again this opportunity of making Hajj Baytullah, inshaAllah. Truly fortunate is the one who's there at the moment and is about to embark on this blessed journey. Coming back to the fact that we are currently not able to make Hajj for whatever reasons, and we know there are many restrictions on making Hajj, etc., unlike in the years that have gone by, where a person could just go for Hajj, every year he could just make Hajj. And many, many of our people, alhamdulillah, they made multiple Hajj over and over again. It was very, very less complicated and not so complex as it has become today with the quota system and the restrictions, etc. But our intention must be there, that we want to be there at the Baytullah. Allah will reward us, inshallah, on our intention. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith, our mother, Hazrat Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, mentions in one hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never neglected four things. One is that he fasted on the day of Ashura. That's the first thing. He never neglected this. The second thing he never ever neglected is fasting 3 days every month, Ayyamul Bid. That he fasted the 3 days every month, this was his practice, that the 13, 14, 15, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would fast 3 days a month. And the third thing she mentions is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, obviously it's not on the 10th, but the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always fasted on these first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. One fast in these days of Dhul-Hijjah is equivalent to the reward of fasting one whole year. One whole year. It is a kind of a mini Ramadan, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And the fourth thing, before I forget, the fourth thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never omitted was the 2 rakats before Salatul Fajr, the 2 sunnah of Fajr. Now, discussing fasting on the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, while some of us may not be able to fast the full 9 days, if a person doesn't fast also, he's not sinful also. It's a very important clarification also, that a person who doesn't fast also, he's not sinful. Yes, if he fasts, it's a great reward. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah, he will get the reward for one day of fasting, the reward of the entire year of fasting. So if we can't manage to fast, as an encouragement for myself, that if we can't manage to fast 9 days, at least try a few days, and if we can't fast a few days, then at least fast one day, that is on the day of Arafah for us. So at least one day if we can fast, inshallah, we will get that reward as well. Coming to the next thing mentioned in the hadith by our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Hafsa binti Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never missed the 2 rakats of the sunnah of the Fajr salah. In another hadith, it's mentioned that this 2 rakats sunnah of Salatul Fajr is better than the entire world and whatever it contains. 2 rakats sunnah, 2 light rakats. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his habits was, among other ayat, to recite قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in these 2 rakats of the sunnah of Fajr. This is such a stress sunnah, the sunnah of Fajr, that the ulama explain that if a person misses it, if a person comes to the masjid, for example, and the fard salah has already now commenced, then he must, if he has time to make it to the fard salah, to the Fajr salah, he has time to join up, then he must make his sunnah salah, even though the jamaat is on, is continuing, he must quickly make his 2 sunnah of Fajr. And if he fears that he won't get the fard, then he can omit it and join the fard salah. And after sunrise, after about 12-13 minutes, he can make qada of these 2 sunnah of Fajr. It's so important, the 2 sunnah of Fajr. So let us always hold firmly onto the 2 sunnah of Fajr and never omit it. And khuda nakhas, if we have to omit it, it was omitted for some reason, person gets up late and he only has time just to make the fard of Fajr because sunrise is imminent now, then he needs to make the fard and discharge the fard and later make up for the 2 sunnah of Fajr. So these are the 4 things that comes that Hazrat Hafsa mentioned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never omitted these 4 things in his life. Just for those who are coming a bit later, the first is that he fasted on the day of Ashura. He fasted 3 days every month. He fasted the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. And he never ever omitted the 2 sunnah of the Fajr Salah. Now, as far as Hajj is concerned, we explained that while we cannot be there in Makkatul Mukarramah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are very vast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards are unlimited for us as an ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for occasions to forgive us. The doors of forgiveness are always open. The doors of mercy, rahmat, are always open. Allah looks for opportunities to forgive us, to shower His mercy upon us. It's only for us to draw from the forgiveness of Allah, for us to draw from the mercy of Allah. And really, these 9 days of Dhul Hijjah in particular are the days of and the nights of drawing the mercy of Allah. A person who makes ibadah in these 9 days, then it is as though he has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Qadr, the reward of the night of Qadr. Imagine the great rewards for observing these 9 days. So our elders used to observe these days very seriously. These 9 days were taken very seriously. And we should be exerting in the worship of Allah. Now, not every one of us has the time to isolate due to our commitments of work, etc. But continuously, we can recite Subhanallah, the 3rd kalima, continuously, while we're working as well, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This is one of the practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make excessive dhikr and takbir of Allah, and tahmid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we all can do that. Another great ibadah is not committing sins. Not committing sins. And one of the easiest ways of committing sins is via the tongue. So if we can, in these 9 days in particular and throughout the year, especially in these days, if we can take control of our tongue. The less we speak, the more beneficial it is. The less we speak, the more benefit there is, unless it's beneficial speech or beneficial talk. But if we can exercise restraint on our tongue, then we will notice that we'll have much time to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we can increase it in these days, the recitation of the Qur'an, there is no greater dhikr than the recitation of the Holy Qur'an. If we can finish one khatam in these 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, that will be a very great thing indeed. If we can divide our entire Qur'an Sharif into nine days or 9 portions and complete it in this, it will be a great reward inshallah. Then, coming to the act of Qurbani, these 9 days lead towards Qurbani. That globally, the Muslim Ummah engage in the act of Qurbani. But if we go to look deeply, Udhiyah, or sacrificing animals at this time, wasn't started by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It was reinforced, this practice, after Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through the great test which we all know. So this was in practice from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But due to the test of Ibrahim alayhi salatu, the ultimate test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him major tests, over 30 major tests. And this was the ultimate test, that the test of submission. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have submitted myself. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam became Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is an ummah himself, as a person is an ummah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the father of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the father Abul Anbiya. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is from one of those 5 greater nabis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ulul Azm Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is that individual who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved dearly. And he was tested very dearly also. And we know the test of sacrificing his own son. While we sacrifice and we hear the story every year, and we hear it from the time we are children, we hear the story of his sacrificing. But have we probed deeper, much deeper into this? That at old age, when he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's blessed with a son. In old age, not in young age, when he had become old. And here's this child who's the pillar of his support now. He's relying on this child, leaning on this child. And he and this little child, they build the Ka'batullah. As a little boy, they build the Ka'batullah. How they build the Ka'batullah, standing on that Maqam Ibrahim, and how they build that Ka'batullah. Then, after he sees this child grow, then the command comes. And how it comes? In a dream it comes also. And when he mentions it to his son also, that I have dreamt about this. There is no reservation from father or son, that whatever you have been commanded, do as you have been commanded. The dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are true dreams. And father and son submit. My dear father, when you are slaughtering me, then cover me so that you do not feel pain. Satajiduni insha'allahu mina sabirin. I'll be patient when you're doing this, because it's a command of Allah. We are not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never intended for Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam to be slaughtered. Allah never intended that. But it was that ultimate test, that can I put Allah before anything? Can I submit my wombs and desires and my nafs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The nafs. So when we putting that knife on that animal's neck from next Saturday onwards, 3 days Allah has given us to make qurbani. When we are putting that knife, are we living that act of submission, that, oh Allah, I'm putting this knife on my own nafs. I'm putting it on my nafs. And how I'm putting it on my nafs, that whatever you have commanded, oh Allah, I will do that. And whatever you have prohibited, ya Allah, I will refrain from that. And alhamdulillah, qurbani is such a thing in our community. It's alive. We must also make shukr to Allah, that in our country, living in a secular country, this ni'mat of Allah is very, very live and it's dynamic in our country, unlike many other countries. In a country like Australia, where there's more sheep than human beings, people cannot make qurbani in their backyards and in their homes how we make qurbani here. There are so many restrictions. In Europe, etc., there are so many restrictions. Here, Allah hasn't given us any of those restrictions. Let us value it. As part and parcel of valuing it, many complaints are received. And even this year, we received a message from the Association of Muslim Farmers, AMFA as they are called, not a regulatory body, but a body of Muslim farmers. And one of the appeals was on the kind and humane treatment of animals. That while Allah has given us this ability, and the government hasn't placed any restrictions on us, and if we are going to abuse this privilege, and what the Sharia dictates to us, that the kind and humane treatment of animals, so many complaints are received, that animals are kept in very difficult, very constricted conditions. If we do not have the facilities to keep animals, we cannot keep them in those conditions. That even if you kill, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you slaughter nicely, kindly also, swiftly, where the animal doesn't go through any pain or suffering. So, it's important that Muslims, that we do not give Islam a bad reputation in the way we keep our animals, in the way we transport our animals, in the way we slaughter our animals. So often after qurbani, then especially on social media, video clips are spread all over. And they get into the wrong hands. And how a animal is being cut, a bull is being slaughtered, and the cruelty with which it is being slaughtered as well. This is not the Sharia. That if we do not know how to slaughter an animal like that, do not slaughter it. Go to a place where there are facilities to slaughter an animal. And there's no reason for us to shoot an animal, stun an animal, because Allah hasn't made it a condition. It's simple. If a person knows the procedure and technique of even dropping a very big animal, it's very, very simple. But if we do not have the required knowledge, don't engage in something which brings not us, but brings our deen into disrepute. So that's an important aspect. Then, Bakri Eid is not a carnival. It's not a fan, like a funfair kind of atmosphere. It's a great ibadah. We have forgotten that it is a very great ibadah. Before the blood can even reach the ground, we get the reward. Comes in the hadith that before the blood can even hit the ground, we have been given the reward. And qurbani is not something that we need to get over and done with it. That everything is catch me if you can. We want the earliest Eidgah, awwal waqt. Yes, we understand the days are getting shorter. We need to slaughter animals. But then it's not like, you know, by 10:30 we had dropped 20 already. We had dropped 30. We had dropped 40. That's not the spirit of qurbani. The spirit of qurbani is that there are sunnah du'as to be recited before we cut that animal. Then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance before we cut that animal and after we cut that animal also. Then there are hukuk of that animal also, that it's slaughtered in a proper way, swiftly, all four, the veins are severed. And not only that, the animal has to come to a complete standstill before we start skinning that animal. And then to participate in eating that animal is another great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How often we hear these vile comments that qurbani meat stinks, or it smells, we do not eat qurbani meat. We can't eat qurbani meat. Then there's something wrong with the culinary skills of that person who's preparing that food. But qurbani meat is something that we should be taking into our systems. Our Ahlullah, on these 3 days of qurbani, they used to eat so much of qurbani meat, so much so that many of our akabirin and Ahlullah, they shouldn't even eat bread with qurbani meat. Just qurbani meat only, because it is blessed meat, the meat of qurbani. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of Eid al-Adha, he never used to consume anything from Subah Sadiq. He used to, after making his qurbani, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, and some of the ahadith mention the liver of the animal, that the first thing he used to eat is the liver of the animal. So that's another sunnah that we can bring into our lives, that we do not eat anything. The first thing we do when we come back from the salatul, from the Eidgah or the musalla, is that we participate, we slaughter, and we eat from the qurbani animal. This is a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should bring it alive in our homes as well. So these are important considerations. Then coming to the night of Eid. the two nights of Eid, we are very particular about observing Laylatul Bara'ah, and it's good. Laylatul Bara'ah is a auspicious night. We are very particular about observing the night of Qadr. We do not know when it happens, but we do know that in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, one of those odd nights could be the night of Qadr. That we know. But what we are negligent about is the two nights of Eid. The two nights of Eid are very great nights, very auspicious nights. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who worships on the nights of Eid, his heart will be alive on that day when hearts will be dead, the day of Qiyamah. Such a great night of ibadah. And so it's important that we observe this night of Eid, the two nights of Eid. We spend some time. Yes, we cannot spend the entire night in ibadah because we've got qurbani to do the next day. We need sleep also. But a portion of the night, if we can extract a portion of the night, make a firm resolve and intention that we will inshallah worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically worship Him more than what is the bare minimum, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that reward inshallah and keep our hearts alive on that day when hearts will be dead. Allah make us from those people. Time is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all on these Mubarak days. And do not forget our brothers in Gaza. Do not forget them. We cannot forget them. It's going on from the 23rd of October, from the 7th of October 2023. It's going on. A genocide is being unfolded live while we're sitting here. And from the 7th of October and prior to that, but the intensification of the genocide of Muslims, it's unabated from the 7th of October. 2 million people stuck in a prison, being bombed day and night, being burnt alive, being starved to death. A genocide is being unfolded in front of us. And for us, life is just carrying on. It's just carrying on. We're going to go back and have lunch, and life will end. Come the day of Eid, and we'll have some tios, braais, and enjoy qurbani meat. But do not forget our brothers and sisters and babies who are being butchered, massacred. Do not forget them. While we can't go there to assist, we can financially assist. And alhamdulillah, financial assistance is getting in. Trucks are not getting in. Convoys are not getting in. But financial assistance is getting in somehow or the other. So let us not forget them. And the least we can do is every day take out some time to make dua for them. One is a dua which is just a general dua. But try to imagine if Allah has afflicted us with something, Allah protect all of us. Allah give us all afiyah. But if we have some urgent need of Allah, whether it's shifa, whether it's rizq, whether whatever it is, how will we make dua? How will we make dua? How will we earnestly turn to dua? When our matriks are writing generally, that's a very nice time to see them in the musalla, how they tear the musallas. Because the need to pass that matrik exam, it's a nice sight also to see young men turning to Allah earnestly. So, like that, these are our brothers, our sisters. These are our babies. These are our mothers, our fathers. Turn to Allah, earnestly asking Allah to assist them, to remove their difficulty. And Allah, that zalim, those zalimun, if He hasn't made hidayat muqaddar for them, destroy them. How He destroyed the Aad, the Thamud, the Qawm Lut, the Qawm Nuh. Destroy them, Ya Allah. Allah give us all tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.